So welcome to Coach's Corner. I'm Coach Andrew Poritz from Ingenuity Coaching, and this is my first podcast since June 2016 when I interviewed Kelly Carroll, the singing Hillary Clinton. You can visit my website at myfuturecoach.com and follow me on Twitter at Coach Andrew. If you're listening live and you have a question, the phone number here is 646-929-2893. You'll be able to listen to the show on the phone, and if you press the number 1, I'll know you have a question. So tonight, my guest is Maxine Albright, the author of Relationships in a Nutshell, a book for guys. Maxine's from England and grew up in Denmark. The mother of 4 boys, she wrote this book because she wants to teach boys the importance of sexual education. You can learn about Maxine in this book at in-a-nutshell.me. Okay, so in-a-nutshell.me. And there are several other links that are on the show page. Maxine, are you with me?
I am indeed, Andrew.
Okay, great. Thank you for putting up with all these technical challenges. And,
well, thank you for having me.
We're going to take it from there. My pleasure. So now, where are you right now in the world?
I am in
physically.
Van Nuys in L.A.
Okay, in L.A. Okay,
yes.
Great.
I'm here promoting my book.
Uh-huh. And you brought
and
a nice accent with
show.
You.
Thank you.
Thank you. This is my first show of 2017, and it's been a long while since I've done a show. A lot of people don't know this because I don't really publicize this, but I had some major surgery last year, and then just put this all on the back burner for a while. So here we are, getting the rust off, the Rust-Oleum I needed to get back. And
well, glad
thank
you're
you
back.
For being my first guest. Thank you very much. So. So the interesting thing that I discovered about your book is that it is a very quick read. I was able to read it in a single sitting, other than the first chapter that I had read a couple of weeks ago. And I would say that the average person could probably read this in 1 or 2 days if they sit down and just read it. So this is not a book that will challenge somebody who has time challenges. So that's kind of a good thing.
That was the kind of point behind this book, because I think there isn't really that much information for guys. Most of the self-help books are targeted at females, at women that buy these sort of books. And my understanding is that boys, they're the ones that are supposed to lead the way, take the first steps, invite out, and all of this sort of stuff. And they really need the tools and the information to be able to do that successfully. And I thought this book, it doesn't need to go down into too much nitty-gritty and into too much detail. I thought it's much better to give it straight to the point, because boys, they just want to know. They just want the facts. They don't want to know too much about it and why it's this way or why it's that way. They just want to know how to do it or what to do. So that's why I've kind of brought it down, so it's easy. It's very easy reading. And like you say, I mean, you can actually read the book probably in a couple of hours, can't you? If you're sitting on an aeroplane or lying in bed or what have you, it's very easy to read. I mean, I'm not saying that you'd want to read it all in one go, but it would probably take about a couple of hours to read it if you sat nonstop reading.
Which is what I did actually.
Yeah.
And of course,
yeah.
I'm also doing, I'm doing homework, for the show. So I really wanted to see if I can get through that and then be prepared for you. But I've had other books that I've had to take quite a bit of time to get through before I could get to the person who wrote it.
Yeah, and I guess if it's a big book, it'll take quite a while. And then, I mean, this book is like you say, it's easy, and I'm sure you'll have some questions for me regarding the book.
Absolutely. Well, we want to really start with, I mean, you said that you want to teach boys the importance of sexual education, but I really want to get behind what made you put this book together in the first place. What's the impetus for writing it? And certainly, what is it that makes you the person to write about this?
Well, the reason behind it is, again, like I said, that there's not a lot of material out there for guys. And it's very difficult, I think, for parents to have that sex relationship talk with their children in general. So it's maybe easy to speak about the birds and the bees and explain how you get a girl pregnant and what to be aware of and to use a condom and to be safe and what have you. But to actually go into the understanding of how girls work or what girls need or want is much more tricky. I mean, I have four boys and they're fantastic boys. But actually sitting down trying to explain, and I'm very straightforward, open, and, you know, I talk to anybody about anything, but to actually sit and speak to my boys and explain to them about sexual things that I think are quite important that boys know, it's not the kind of conversation, and I mean, my boys would cringe. I mean, they probably wouldn't even want to listen to this show if I talk too much about sex, because that's the kind of relationship we have with our parents. We can't imagine that our parents have sex. Well, we don't want to even think about that, really, do we?
Definitely not.
But on the other hand, sex is so important in a relationship, not just the sex, but the sexual, everything about it, you know, because sex brings affection. And if you've got a good sexual relationship with somebody, caressing them or holding them or wanting to go over and squeeze them or give them a kiss is actually not that difficult. And that's why I think it's very important for young guys to understand this and to have a comprehension of what is expected of them by girls. So that was the reason behind it. And your second question was why I decided to write this book, or why I would be a good person to write it, this book, I feel.
Yes.
Is because I have a lot of understanding about it. I mean, I'm 52, and I've been sexually active for about 41 years. I've had I've had various relationships. I had quite a traumatic childhood, and you know, I could go through a list of, you know, I've been pregnant as a teenager. I was a teenage mother. I was having sex at a very young age. I didn't understand even what was going on when I was having sex at a very, very young age, because I was looking for love, but the guys, they weren't. They had loads of hormones going around, and they weren't thinking about love. So it's very important for me that I give that information out there. For example, I put in there in my book that it's very important to listen to the girl and not push too far, not to force somebody to do something they don't want to do, and listen to body language, listen to what she says, because by forcing somebody or pushing them too hard, you don't get a good result out of that. It's much better if you have a willing partner, somebody that really wants to do this together with you. It's much more enjoyable.
Of course. Well, now, so your ideal audience for this is who? Who are the people you're really looking to reach?
I'm looking to reach guys from about the age of 15, 16 and up, I would say. But I also have girls that have read the book, because girls could read this book and they can actually relate to it. So they can say, wow, is this the feeling all girls have? Is this what all girls want? Because we all, you know, if I'm going to be a bit explicit here, but all women want to have an orgasm. Not all women can. Our bodies are made to have an orgasm, but not all of us can, either because we have blocks, because we have a lover that is not good enough or not able to achieve that with us. But in saying that, women, what is most important for women is, I think, is not just the orgasm, it is the closeness that we have, the closeness that you have with your partner during sex and during those times. And I wanted to get that message out to young boys that these things are just as important as having sex, because when a woman climaxes or has an orgasm, it's important, it's really important that that the guy understands and can understand that, understand her body, understand what goes on. And girls need to understand this. So by girls reading this book, they actually can relate to some things and say, wow, other girls feel this way. So I think mainly boys, but girls too. And older guys. I mean, what do you think? I mean, do you think you learned anything from reading the book?
Well, you know, there's definitely some things. You know, I think you get to be my age, and I'm older than you are. I won't say how much, but eventually, I think you learn something. I would hope. And still, I mean, one of the things that's in your book is that you break down some very specific areas of the how-tos around things, including sex, including your female body parts, and even some of the basics of, I want to say, picking somebody up, you know, meeting somebody, from the how to meet, which is, I think, especially when you're younger, is very challenging. It can be very challenging for some people.
Definitely.
Who don't have that skill naturally, or just never knew how. I mean, there are these things. By the way, I don't know if you're familiar with the PUA, the pickup artist community. There's actually such a thing. There are people who train men in how to pick up women. Now, it's mostly, not maybe in the nicest sort of way. I mean, they all have. Picking up women, they're not necessarily looking for relationships, but still, it's helped people who have not had any skill in publicly meeting people and given them certain skills. So you have that in your book, not to that extent, but you have some basics of how to be around women in a group, for example. And you had some some very specific things on how to. Please a woman, for example, ask her what she wants if you don't know, if it's not obvious. So there's a lot of great information in there, I found, that I think somebody who has, in particular, who has never learned these things or doesn't know that, one of my favorite sayings is, you don't know what you don't know. And,
That's right.
Yeah, which is, a lot of people think they know things, and then they find out there's all this other stuff they didn't know. They didn't know that they didn't know. And so having that open mind to it. So I think somebody who might have lots of experience by a certain age still has plenty to learn, because they don't know that they don't know these things. They might not have ever had a clue that their woman felt this way. And certainly when you go into some of the differences, Maxine, between...
Yeah.
Men and women, which I think it's great to hear this from a woman, because I've had, I was very involved in something called the Sterling, where we took, a weekend, transformational weekend, and a lot of it was about the differences, understanding the differences between men and women. A lot of people don't want to hear that. They don't want to think there are differences between men and women, and you are one of the brave souls who are saying, we're hardwired differently. And it's true.
Yeah, and it's crazy to think that we're not different, because of course we're different. I mean, women are, we're nurturers. We want to build that nest, and men are providers, hunters. They do want to look after you, and women want to be looked after. Even independent women, I'm a very independent person. I look after myself. I can look after, you know, I work, I can make my own money, I can do things, but I still need a man. I still want somebody to love me and strong shoulders for me to lean on and look after me and make me feel like I'm being looked after, look after each other.
Mm-hmm.
But back to your point about the book with the differences, it's crazy for people to not think that there's that difference, but it's what this does is, I think, is one thing I wanted to say, which I think is very important, and that is dads, fathers out there can make such a difference at how their sons develop, what kind of relationship their sons have with females, in the way they approach their wife, the mother of the child, and the way they deal with it. Because what I hear, and this is something I hear quite a lot, Andrew, is that many times men have quite a negative way of approaching things. So it could be, let's say, a wife for the third time this year, she wants to reshuffle the furniture. She's not happy with it, so she wants to move it around again. And she's got her teenage son and husband moving things around for her. And you know, it could be that the father says to the son, or he lifts his eyebrows and says, look, son, you just got to put up with this sort of stuff because this is what women are like. You know, that's a negative spin on something that's actually not that negative, because we women are the ones that are the practical ones. We want the home to be cozy. It's got, you know, things have got to be in the way that kind of we want it. Men don't really care about stuff like that. They're not bothered. But if that father, that husband, was to say to his son, look, son, you know, we're doing this for mum because this makes mum happy. And the best thing we can do is, you know, we're not bothered about it, but she is. And if it means so much to her, let's do it. Let's have a fun day doing it together and let's get the best out of it. There's a positive spin there. And that boy, that son, he will remember those sort of things. And when it comes to his wife or girlfriend that wants to do something that's a bit annoying or a bit irritating, he might be a little bit more patient because he's learned from his father to be a bit patient and a bit understanding towards females, because we are wired differently.
And of course, if you don't have that, if you didn't get that from your, you say, your father, you might have a completely different way about you that might not be so good.
Exactly. And so it's really up to us parents to, and again, Andrew, we all come from different walks of life. We've experienced different things. We've been conditioned by our parents that have been conditioned by their parents. We're being conditioned by our teachers. We're being influenced by our school friends, our peers, our, you know, the people we hang out with. We're being influenced by so many different things, and it can always go one way or the other. The thing I see, and this is also very interesting to see, is that many boys that have sisters in their lives seem to be much more understanding about girls because they experience those difficult times when girls are crying without a reason, or have hysterical fits, or, you know, have periods, and there's a bit of maybe, you know, hormones and what have you. They understand it. They understand girls better. And in that way, I can see how important it is at a young age they begin to understand those differences and accept them. And schools, I have to say, doesn't matter whether it's in America, England, Denmark, wherever, they are not good at giving sexual education, because it shouldn't just be about sex. It should be sex and relationship education, because it's just so important. I mean, we want to stop these divorces. We want to keep people together. Now, whether we are made to do that, that's a completely different question. But we are where we are. And we're dealing with what we've got to deal with. And this is how our society is built up. and has been for many years. So we've got to make the best of what we've got. That's my belief.
I wanted to, you sort of paved the way for me to ask this, because you're talking about the different, whether it's, you know, America or England or Denmark, but or wherever. But I'd like to talk about the differences for people who grow up in these different environments. In particular, your boys, did they grow up in Denmark?
Yeah, they're growing up in Denmark. Yeah.
So Denmark is certainly a place where when you think of, for example, sexual freedom compared to America. I mean, you hear about, the sex change, surgeries that I think were perfected there, and
porn was legalized there many years ago, even when it was illegal still in America and in England and all those places.
Yes.
And if you go to the beach, you'll see nakedness. There's a great possibility you'll see nakedness, and a huge possibility you'll see toplessness. It's much more casual. I mean, I think sometimes it's a bit too much. So there could be radio, talk shows, television programs where they use the F word on there. They use it very casually. And again, maybe because English is not their first language, and the F word, they don't understand it as such a bad word because, it's so easy for them to use on the telly.
Bad word is just a decision that we make about something. It's not really, I don't even know if there's such a thing, but it's an agreement.
Yeah, and we don't really want young children of 10 or 12 hearing those sort of words on telly. I mean, I wouldn't want to hear my children or grandchildren hearing those words at such a young age. I wouldn't want them starting to use those words. And if they hear them on telly, from parents, they're going to be using those words, aren't they? Because it will just become natural. I don't believe that they're bad words, because I believe in certain sentences, they're actually it's a very strong word, and even in a positive way, it can make that sentence a really great sentence with the F word.
Sure.
In it. So don't get me wrong, but what I mean is what children are exposed to. So sometimes I think maybe Denmark children are exposed to a bit too much, a bit too young.
That's really kind of going past the point I'm trying to get at, or what I'm trying to ask you about is how do you think having more, as you might say, more open mores in a society might make for a difference between how a man is growing up in Denmark versus a man growing up in the United States or in a much stricter environment, say like Ireland, I'm not even going to get into some of the, the Arab kind of states, but let's say the people of the same kind of ideology. Where would you see a difference for how boys grow up and blossom into people who would be then having sexual relationships and relationships per se? Are you following what I'm asking?
No, not really, Andrew. Sorry.
Okay, that's all right. So it seems to me that there are big differences between how one might grow up in a country or in an environment where it's much more much freer sexually, as Denmark, for example, is known to be. And the United States is not one thing. You could grow up in the Deep South and have one way of experiencing the world. You can grow up in near a nude beach in California and have a different feeling, etc. But
yeah.
But as a by and large difference of between areas of growing up, do you think that makes a huge difference
between the men? Well.
In terms of how it affects
I,
this particular issue that we're talking about,
It's really difficult for me to say that, but one thing I can say is that it's not just about the men, it's about the culture, it's about the females. So, for example,
mm-hmm.
in Denmark, women are very strong in Denmark. They're very strong in the way that they're very independent. When they work or educate themselves, even though they find a partner, even though they have children, they go back straight back to work after their maternity leave. There's a good system there that's good nurseries, kindergartens. So, you know, I tend to feel that in Denmark, people are more, it's more of a partnership. Whereas here and in the UK, though I will say it's improving, women are kind of forced to stay at home with their children. Many choose to as well, of course, but it's not much of a choice unless you earn lots of money and you can afford it. So in Denmark, it takes 3 years to educate, to be educated, to look after children in a nursery or kindergarten. So when you send your child to a nursery, you know they're getting looked after. So men are wired or built or not trained, I'm not going to say trained, but they're brought up, they're raised differently because it's a different mentality and different things that go again. So here, maybe the kindergartens and nurseries aren't that good. So women tend to stay at home. They're then reliant on their husbands to make money. Many times, I think, the same as UK, the problems start when you have children. There's not enough time for each other. They've suddenly got a child to look after. The mum stays at home maybe, so that means the father, they're losing one income. The father then has to maybe work overtime, get a second job, drive Uber, for example, as a second job,
yeah.
Whatever. He's then coming home even more tired. She's tired of having the kids all day and wants to have a little bit of a rest. And she maybe wants to plant them in his hands. And the last thing he wants is kids. He just wants to relax. Where's the time for those two to have a good time, to have a cuddle, to have a kiss, to have some relaxing adult time? Many times by the time they get the kids to bed, they're shattered and they don't have time for each other. And this is my worry. And this is why the book is so important, because if young boys understand it, if young boys can get it right from the beginning and have lots of practice before they actually meet their wonderful partner for life, they've actually got a great understanding of how to be, and maybe they would be able to work out those things and have a good relationship, understanding that they need to give each other time. They have to give time to adult time, if you like.
Right, sure.
So I think countries, it's very different depending because of the culture, not so much about just men, but because of the work situation.
Well, I really was asking you because you have the sort of a unique perspective, having been coming from one country, growing up in another country, spending time in a place like here, that I think you might see more of the differences than I might see.
One thing I have seen here is that I think not even just the older guys, I would say generally men, are actually quite gentlemanly here. I very much like the American men. Yes, I do. Now, in Denmark, I don't feel that at all. You know, I think it's a breath of fresh air having the door open for me. And, you know, women, a lot of women maybe don't seem to like that, but I think they should embrace it because it's about respect. It's about showing a woman respect, and I think it's lovely. I think it's a lovely trait to have. So I think definitely something American men should do is keep on being gentlemen.
I always hear from women that they think the European man generally is much far more, you know, chivalrous and gentlemanly and romantic and all these things. And I always wonder, is that just a something that they've created as, you know, a romantic idea, or is that the truth? And then to hear you say that you're finding American men are more romantic, rather more a gentlemanly, was a surprise to me.
Yeah, no, that's the way I see it, and believe me, I've been on a lot of dates, so. Yeah, but going back to some of the fundamental things that are really important in relationships, Andrew, mm-hmm. and something that I really wanted to point out that I think that goes again, it doesn't matter which country you're in, where you're from, what religion you have, doesn't matter. The three ingredients to something really great in a relationship is trust, honesty, and communication. If you love somebody mm-hmm. and you can trust because they're honest towards you, it's not that difficult to have communication. Because the time when it's difficult to have communication, Andrew, is if you don't have trust or faith in the person you're talking to, because already there, you're not going to maybe be opening up to your true feelings or thoughts about something if you don't trust somebody. So mm-hmm. all these things kind of go hand in hand. And I think for a good relationship to work out, you need to have that communication. And it's not going to be there if you don't have the trust. So that is the, I believe, is the fundamental things we need to make a relationship work. Then you can always discuss things and talk and disagree. Sometimes you need to agree to disagree, don't you? I mean, I'm sure there's been a lot going on since President Trump became president, because and I mean, I just wanted to say, now that we're on that subject, I've been here for just about a month now, and I think actually what's going on is quite terrible for America. And why I think it's terrible is because Donald Trump has been elected president, and every time I open the television or go onto my computer and there's something about Trump, they're trashing him, they're making fun of him, they're mocking him, and it's become a bit of a war between the media and Trump. And I kind of feel, I mean, I don't have any, I'm not for or against him, but what I will mm-hmm. say is that I think it was really important if everybody got together and accepted that decision and move forward and stop this, because, you know, everybody's looking, everybody's watching, everybody's waiting. And there's a, suddenly there's not, it's not United States. It doesn't seem like there's a United States anymore.
It's not very at the moment.
No.
The divide is not just between the media and the president, but between the people of the country. We're really like, you know, diverging, and I'm going to try not to go down the rabbit hole here, which we easily could. But one of the things that I read about an article in the Times that I read yesterday that was pointing out that the way that people speak with tremendous condescension about people who have the differing opinions. For example, if you're a liberal and you are trashing anybody who happens to support the Republicans or the conservatives, the condescending tones and statements and actions doesn't do anything to persuade anyone. All it does is it gets people more entrenched in a position that maybe they weren't even that entrenched in the first place, but it's like the best way to get anybody to do something is to tell them not to do it, you know, to tell them they look, well, you're ridiculous for thinking this. Well, yeah, I'll show you. I'll stick with that.
Yeah.
In fact, the only reason I might even bring this up now is because in some ways it relates to this, because, you know, when we're looking to master, for example, the art of seduction or the art of inviting somebody into your life, you're doing persuasion. You are enrolling somebody, as they say, and I'm a landmark graduate, if you know what that is. But are you enrolling somebody into who you are, into your life? The last thing you want to do is tell them how much their life is wrong, how your position is just not just wrong, but it's evil, it's bad, did I mention stupid? And did I mention you're a complete imbecile? And I know that if somebody were to say those things to me on the things that I believe in, I would, you just want to double down on them. You're not going to, nobody will ever convince you of anything by telling you you're an idiot.
That's right. That's right. And that goes, and you're absolutely right, that's in relationships too. If you start off by telling somebody that, in that sort of tone, in that sort of way, you're never going to achieve what it is you started out to achieve, are you? And I think also it's important to look at the positive parts. I think it's also very important that if you have something negative to say to somebody, it's very important to have something positive to say as well, because at the end of the day, it can't all be negative. There must be some positives, because otherwise you wouldn't be together to start with.
Absolutely. So Maxine, one of the things I'd like to really get to there's a couple of things. One is, how did you research? Like, what was the kind of research you did to create this book, or did you create this from your? I mean, you had very specific, sexual details, for example. So I know that you, unless you wrote the diagrams, you must have done some research. and in which case, you hey, great job on the diagrams. Nasty, that's where that
right,
is.
Right, actually, Drew.
That's what you
I
call
drew
that
some,
thing.
I drew some of the drawings there that are in there. I did. Not all of them, but some of them I did.
Okay.
And, of course, well, I'm a very sensual person. I'm very, I've had four long-term relationships. One, the first one, when I was married to my husband many, many years ago, he was not a good husband. He was abusive and disloyal. And the three other guys have been actually really good guys. I wouldn't say that. And the thing that's worked well for me is that I'm very straight talking and upfront. And if I'm not happy about something, Andrew, I say it. And people respect, even though they don't always like to hear it, they respect that because they know that's it. Whatever I say, that that's it's coming, and I feel that is so needed in relationships, that people dare to be honest. And I have a friend that says, "Oh, I don't like to say that because that might hurt them," and I say, "But listen, by not saying it, you're hurting them, because if they find out later that you actually didn't like it or didn't want it or whatever it was, they're going to be even more hurt because they've been doing something that you don't actually like." So I've been quite straightforward, and I've said, I think men are generally quite selfish when it comes to sex and sexual things. Andrew, I'm going to be really harsh here and say that men are quite selfish, and if they turn that around, and in their minds. Actually, one of my exes, he said to me, you've made me a better lover. And you've made me a better lover because you taught me to, you expressed what you needed for me to satisfy you. I listened, and I enjoyed so much satisfying you that was even more enjoyable than before. He said, I used to live my life where I wasn't interested in satisfying women. It was about me. It was about me reaching my climax. So he said, you've taken it to another level with me. And I thought that's the best compliment I could have had, because, and in fairness, we had a very good sexual relationship. Of course, that wasn't, you know, it had nothing to do, you know, I'm not together with him anymore, but
right.
that had nothing to do with our relationship. But going back to it, it's so important that men realize that there's much more to it than just climaxing. There's so much more pleasure in pleasuring a woman, and there's so many men that don't realize it. And you say, of course, Andrew, because maybe, I don't know, you know, about you, and I'd have to speak to your ex-lovers to hear
oh,
what
I'd get
about.
amazing grades and better than cats, you know, and all kinds of things like that. You would see him again and again. But I'll tell you, like, I have a little secret. Like, this is, like, my big love, you know, it's not just sex, but anything. I happen to give the world's greatest foot massage, and I have people who will actually get on the phone right now and verify that this is in fact the case, and also just massages generally. But I hold what I call a context for how I do it, and the context is kind of the thing that holds anything together, whatever you're doing. And if you have a big enough context, everything else kind of follows along. And my context for it, and it's the same context in sexual and in intimacy, I have this sort of mindset. It's called be the other person. And if I'm literally being the other person in my mind, I'm sort of transferring myself into that person's foot, for example. Like,
yeah,
if I were
yeah.
this foot, what would I like? You know,
yeah.
if it were
yeah.
my feet, what would I want? And
yeah.
I
yeah.
give that, and I give it 100%. And what I get back is like, oh my God, that's the greatest I've ever had. It's
yeah.
I'm not bragging,
but
it's just because I'm holding a particular context around what I'm doing at the time.
Yeah, and the foot. I mean, there's a lot of sensuality that could be in
yes.
you know, massaging or rubbing feet, and many times. You know, it doesn't take that much to get a woman or a female into, you know, I want to say something else actually now we're on that. Many times I hear things like, oh, well, women, they don't want to have as much sex as men do. They, you know, they've got a headache, this and that. And I say, you know, and many women say, oh, I can't be bothered. You know, you want sex all the time, or you wanted sex last
mm-hmm.
night and I couldn't be bothered. And that it makes me feel bad when I hear that, because that must be it can't be a good feeling for a man to get a no. And you only have to get a certain amount of no's before you really stop trying, and it starts going the other way, and it's downhill from
sure.
there. So what I would, if I was speaking, if, you know, if there was any women listening now, I guess what I would say to them would be, give the guy a chance. If you can feel, or if your guy tells you he wants sex, or if he shows you, then want something back from it. Say, well, you know, if you want to get intimate with me tonight, I fancy a massage. Because, you know, a 10-minute massage can do so much for a woman. And at the end of the day, if you love your guy and you have got a good relationship, you have got, you know, you do reach climax, you do have an orgasm, he is a good lover when you do have sex, then go for it, because you're going to get in the mood. No one, you know, you can't stand, it's like running from 0 to 100 in 7 seconds. You can do that if you start off running here from right here now. But if you're already in the momentum, you're going to be able to get off and start moving that much quicker, aren't you? And it's the same
mm-hmm.
with feelings and sex and reaching climax. If you're getting a massage, a 10-minute massage, where he's touching some very nice places and he's, you know, and he's doing it right, then that's already going to start stimulating some stuff and make you want him to get closer.
I would absolutely agree with that.
But I don't think many women think about that.
So another thing I really wanted to ask you is, one of the things that occurred to me as I'm reading it is, a lot of this is common, it seems to me, it ought to be common sense, and I'm wondering how much of that is common sense, or the material in your book that you would think men ought to know, and but they just haven't been, maybe just haven't heard it.
This is it. I mean, it is, a lot of it is common sense, Andrew. You're absolutely right. But again, what is common sense? Because common sense, it, with one person, they've learned to do things at home. You know, it's a bit like you said before, you don't know what you don't know.
Right.
And if nobody, so if nobody has told you, for example, that a clitoris is very, very sensitive, and it's actually, it has more nerve endings than the penis does. So, and if, you know,
by the way, I did not know that.
No,
that's a fact I did not know.
No, and you see, there, already there, knowing, and now you know that. The next time you get exposed to a clitoris, you're maybe going to be a bit more sensitive or thoughtful towards that, because you know how that feels to on you if somebody's a bit too rough. Or the same with having moisture around that area when you're having, you know, when you're playing around that area. It's so important that it's moist. And, you know, how do young boys know that if they're not told it? And I haven't seen it written in any books that you have to make sure that that area, the clitoris, is moist. You know, it just, of course,
Are you familiar with something called Mama Gina? The Mama Gina School of Womanly Arts?
No.
Really kind of fascinating.
No.
It's a thing for women. So this is there's a woman who calls herself Mama Gina, and she teaches things to women that nobody teaches them, basically, that are some of the things that you talk about. And I actually, when I was reading your book, I kind of felt like you brought a combination of the things that I got from the Men's Weekend that I did, and things that you might hear if you were a Mama Gina graduate, because I attended a men's panel. Actually, I participated in a men's panel, but I also was invited to an event where I got to literally be several feet from a naked woman who, and they gave a demonstration with a screen for those who were not 2 feet away, and showed.
What was the demonstration?
Not just the men,
Andrew,
in the room, but the women in the room. A lot of the women didn't know. A lot
what was
of things
the, what
about
was the demonstration? What was the
it's
actual
a demonstration?
Demonstration
of a woman's, you know, all of the parts of the woman's vaginal area, the clitoris, and also I think, I can't remember if she brought herself, if she gave herself an orgasm. I think she might have masturbated herself, but I can't quite recall, or if I'm making that part up. But it was quite a...
That's wishful thinking. You don't know whether it's
I might have been having it my own thought. But it was quite a fascinating thing. And I remember that the average guy in the room, you know, mostly it was like, you know, women invited men in their lives to come. And I was very honored to be there. But I actually had somebody who literally taught me this when I was a young man. Okay, here's this, and this is what you do when you do this, and this is what I expect, because you have to learn how to do this if you want to be with somebody. So
Was that somebody older than you, Andrew? Was that somebody older than you?
Yeah, about 5 years older when I was in college.
Yeah.
And I'll be forever grateful. And she I always tell people I'm trained in certain
things.
And
do you know what?
But
that is what I've heard before. Exactly what you're saying there. I've heard other men say that they believe that they're good lovers because they had somebody who was older than them teach them and, you know, give them time and kind of show them the way. But not all men are that fortunate. In fact, many men maybe aren't that fortunate. So they need some other kind of guidance when they don't have that. I mean, I think that Mama Gina you're talking about sounds like fantastic place. But again, there's the much softer parts, because it's not just about sex. It, you know, Andrew, sex is just a small part of it, because it, like I write in my book, foreplay doesn't just happen before sex. Foreplay should be going on all the time. You know, it could be just when your wife is standing in the kitchen washing up or cooking that you go over and you put your arms around her waist, or, you know, kiss her on the neck, or, you know, when you're out walking, you take her hand, you know, and hold her hand when you're walking. Women want all these things. They love that because you're showing them you
mm-hmm.
care about her. And that, and if you do those things, when you do go to bed, it's much easier to get your wife or your girlfriend to want to have sex with you if you do those things to her during the day, and a lovely text message saying, I can't wait to get home to you tonight, or, you know, whatever it is, whatever you... you know, you get your kicks from, or whatever you enjoy, or whatever you know your girlfriend or your wife enjoys. Try and figure that out. Try and
mm-hmm.
understand what is needed for your wife, because everybody is, we have some general things that go again. You know, women, we have our orgasms through either having sex, or having our clitoris played with, or with a vibrator or some kind of sex toy. We know that. But the way we then have we climax depends, of course, on how we are treated and what happens. So individually, we have to understand our partner. So we could think, oh, I've had lots of girls in my time, and I've been able to give most of them orgasms. Well, you know, maybe it's not that difficult for you to give somebody an orgasm, but giving somebody an orgasm and so they really, really enjoy it, so it's not mechanical, it's not like this is what I do, but actually listening to her breathing, listening to her reactions and following those, I think that's where a lot of men let themselves down.
Mm. So with a book like yours, in particular, a young man can really have some advantages over the competition.
Yeah, yes, definitely. And I think this is the kind of book parents, mums and dads should be buying for their boys. I even think that it should be in colleges, that college guys of about 15 and 16 and up should be given this book, because it does give them an understanding about females and a head start, and it gives maybe opening up, because there's a lot of material out there. You can go and find this and that, and if you go online, but you can find one person says this thing and one person says that. And I'm not saying what I write, everything is right in there. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is, from experience, from listening and from hearing what goes on, I believe that this is the way forward to at least give things a better chance of working out. There could be loads of other things. I mean, we haven't even touched on you know, boys and their insecurities, because girls, women, females, we have loads of insecurities, and we don't really address men's insecurities that much, Andrew. But, you know, I was in reading, I've tried to find some information about cock sizes, so for example, and I don't know if you know this, but I went in and found out that only 35% of men think that their cock size is sufficient. That means there's 65% of the men that don't think they have a big enough size cock. Now, that's dreadful. Because, in fairness, an average size, an average size cock is about 3.5 inches, and when it's erect, it reaches about 5.1 inch, and that is an average size, and over 80% of men have that size. So, and again, maybe that information is, there's not enough talk about it to make these men understand it. They shouldn't think that they've got a problem because they only have 3.5 inches or 5 inches when they're erect. Because, and again,
yeah, you know, and if you're a man and you watch pornography, you're definitely going to think there's something wrong with you.
Exactly. And again, statistics say that young boys of 13, 14, 15 and 16 are watching porn maybe once or twice a week. And we've in the UK, we heard about a lot of young boys, 13 to 15, 16 years old, taking Viagra to try and match the porn they were watching, because they could see that the guys were lasting and they had big cocks and they were giving it their all for half an hour or whatever it is. And you know, reality, it's not like that. And again, it's about self-control. Again, it's about teaching, learning what to do. I think I put it in my book, you know, if you feel that you're going to be climaxing too soon or too early, think about something else. Think about football. Think about, you know, again, it's about understanding those things, and we're not getting that information out to them. So again, if there's anybody out there that thinks that they've just got their cock size is not sufficient, you know, measure it.
Measure it.
Yeah. And I think many
with
men
your
like
giant ruler.
Measured. Yeah.
That's why I have the mirror above my ceiling with the little sign that says, you know, objects may appear bigger than actual size. But that's an old joke that I borrowed from Gary Shandling. We just sat down to our 2-minute warning. I'm going to give you an opportunity now to let everybody know where they can find you, how to get a hold of the book, etc.
Well, Amazon. It's on Amazon and it's on CreateSpace. And I'd like to say that if anybody has any questions for me or if they'd like to tell me something, you know, I'll gladly answer any questions. So they're more than welcome to contact me. They can go on your website and they can find my website. They can click on the link and they can send me an email through my website. I'll gladly answer any questions anybody has. Like I say, I'm
wonderful.
Here promoting my book, and I want the message to get out there. I think it's a very important message because I want to see people staying together. I want to do my bit.
So Maxine, we're down to our like 60-second drop down. So I would like to take the time now to thank you very much for being with me in my first show of 2017. My guest tonight, ladies and gentlemen, mostly people listening to this in the future, was Maxine Albright, the author of Relationships in a Nutshell, a book for guys. And you can find the links on my site and right on here on the page. And I hope you all get it, buy the book, or get the version that you can watch on your iPad. Again, thank you, Maxine, for being with me. And we will be back here very soon on Coach's Corner on Blog Talk Radio. Thanks for listening.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Andrew. It was a pleasure being on your show, and I hope to speak to you again soon. Thank you.
You sure will. Good night.
Good night.